We are called into the presence of God. We come with joy, thanksgiving, music, and song. Let's prepare for our worship today as we listen to the prelude that Diane's prepared for us. Good morning. Please register your attendance on the sheets that are in the center part of the pew. Put your name on it, pass it down to your neighbor, and if you're new or visiting today, please put your email or phone number in case we need to contact you. Next Sunday is Scout Sunday. FCC is proud to sponsor Troop 13 Boy Scouts and Cub Scouts for the past 76 years. All Scouts, including Boy Scouts, Cub Scouts, Girl Scouts, Brownies, and Explorers, are welcome to proudly wear their uniforms and insignia to church next Sunday. That includes former Scouts, too. The message will be delivered by Dylan Stupek. The CWF branch of Disciples of Women's Ministry will be hosting a spring brunch on April 1st, so mark your calendar. There's more about that in the bulletin there. The FCC youth are collecting canned soup this morning, and there's a table down in Fellowship Hall where you can place your cans of soup at either end of the table to vote for the team that you want to win the Super Bowl today. The soups will then be distributed to the Link and Restoration Church, who will use them to provide lunches to the local high school students. I was going to mention about the cookie jars, but Godly Girlfriends sold all of the cookie jars this morning, so thank you, everyone, for supporting that. Be sure to look over the bulletin for the rest of the announcements in case I forgot something. Do we have any additional announcements?
Hey, Randy.
Huh?
This week is last week to think about a singing Valentine for your gal or guy. Get a hold of me if you want. You get personalized card, a rose, and two love songs, so it's a good deal.
Woohoo. Well, if that's it, then let's stand and greet our neighbor, and then we will sing How Great Thou Art, yes, a song, on page 33 in our hymnal. Thanks, Peg.
Thank you.
please join me in the call to worship that's listed in your bulletin? Are my praises so loud that they drowned out the cries?
Do I fail to stoop down because my hands are raised too high?
Are my eyes shut so tight when I pray I won't see?
Am I worshiping God or only me?
Let us pray. Most holy God, in whom we live and move and have our very life, we are so eager to hear your message, to feel your spirit move among us and to praise your name. We know that without you, we are nothing, an empty shell, trying to muster a life that has no value apart from you. Be here with us now in unmistakable ways. Fill us and prepare us for what is yet ahead. Hear us now as we pray the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Be seated. For countless generations, people have worshiped God through music. There are times that when we sing together, it stirs our souls. And there are times when the words of a song touch us deeply and we can form images of what that song speaks of. This morning, you're invited to worship through listening to a song and watching images that accompany it. We will hear the song Worship, composed by Shirley Booth, as it's played over the video, and the lyrics to that tune are in your bulletin.
But we know we can't eat the next day, and we travel to church in a car. There are carpets to comfort our knees as we pray, and no danger in being what we are. All my praise is so loud, drown out the cries. Do I fail to stoop down, 'cause my hands are raised too high? Shut so tight when I pray I won't sing. Am I worshiping God for only me? You say that worshiping the Lord is more like something I should do with my life, not just at Sunday school. No, Lord, you're calling me to put these things right. Hungry to feed, I have so much to spare for the naked and downtrodden too. So much hurting around me, please help me to care. Lord, I want to start worshiping you. But all my praise is so loud that they drown out the cries. Do I fail to stoop down 'cause my hands are raised too high? All eyes shut so tight. When I pray, I won't see. Am I worshiping God?
Invite our children to come forward for a time of sharing. I like your hat, Max. That's really cool. Hi, Blake. I have some show and tell with me this morning. I picked up one of our Week of Compassion calendars. They're at the back of the sanctuary. If you guys want to take one home for your family, you can. And they have an activity to do every day that goes with the Week of Compassion offering box. And I didn't put my coins in this week, and I thought maybe you guys could help me with a couple days. So we're going to read Sunday. Jesus took a loaf of bread, and after blessing it, he broke it, gave it to the disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Give 2 units in thanksgiving for Jesus' incarnation. Now, a unit can be a penny or a dime or a quarter or a dollar. We'll just use all different coins. Blake, would you put 2 coins in the box for me? 1, 2. Let's see what the next day says. Monday, 800 million or approximately 1 in 9 people in the world do not regularly have enough to eat. Give 1 unit for every meal you eat today. Well, even though that was Monday, we'll count today. So I didn't have breakfast, but I'm going to have a snack after church downstairs, and I'm going to have lunch, and I'm definitely going to have supper, and I'll probably have ice cream before I go to bed tonight. So let's see, Max, would you put 4 coins in the box for me? Mm-hmm. 3, and let me give you 1 more. And while you're putting those in and counting, I'm going to read the next day. Tuesday, in 2016, droughts caused severe food shortages in Ethiopia, Central America, and elsewhere. Give 1 unit for every grocery store in your town or neighborhood. So let's count grocery stores. Colin, I'm going to hand you some coins as we count, and Caleb too. There are 2 Ridleys, I think, and some people shop at Walmart. There's 2 Walmarts that have groceries. There's Sam's Club, there's Smith's, and there's 2 Albertsons. Now, I might not have gotten them all, but we'll start with that, so you guys can put those coins in. Anybody else think of another grocery store I forgot? Grant Street Grocery. We'll put one in for them, because we're glad they're here. We like local businesses. Wednesday, since 1990... the number of malnourished people in the developing world has fallen by almost half thanks to food security and development projects. Give 1 unit in celebration of this progress and 1 unit to continue the work. So I'll give 2 units to Evan for him to put in the box. And then everybody has helped me fill my box. I still have some more to do. So if you all want to get a box and a calendar and take them home with you, you can. And the calendar lasts all month, and then you can bring it back in February, and we'll give it to the Week of Compassion. And the money will be used to help feed people and give people good water to drink and all kinds of wonderful projects to show them that we love them and God loves them. Let's pray together this morning. Dear Jesus, we thank you for blessings of life, for grocery stores and clean water, for friends to love us, for the privilege of sharing what we have with others who are in need. Oh Lord, for those who are hungry, we pray for bread. And for those who have bread, we pray that we may hunger for your justice and righteousness. In Jesus' name, all God's children said, amen. Thank you guys for coming this morning. Have fun at Sunday school and worship and wonder. As the children are headed out this morning, I draw your attention to the prayer concerns on the back of the bulletin. Our card shower today is for Monica Decker. I encourage you to reach into the prayer rack, find a prayer card, and then place that in the offering tray later in the service. Monica had gallbladder surgery on Thursday. She is doing very well, and we're thankful for that. We pray for continued healing for her. Some additions to the list. Nina Hytrick asks for prayers for her son, Travis. He has been diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. Donald Pop, who is a friend of Bob Malloy's, we prayed for last week. He's doing better. He's out of a nursing home and moved to assisted living. Gail Andrus continues to recover from shoulder surgery and is back at work doing well. The missionary we're lifting up today is Gloria Vicente Canu, who serves in Guatemala. And our ministry prayer partners, there's a sheet at the back of the sanctuary you're encouraged to sign. This week we're praying for Pastor Brenda and the members of Grace Lutheran Church just down the street on CY. They serve lunch every Wednesday to the students at Natrona County High School. So we thank God for that ministry and pray for them. Are there others today, Joys, we want to share our concerns? Tom.
Well, I've got bad news. Derek Miller is going to be on Tuesday night. His girlfriend dad did suicide Friday. So I'm just pretty sad about that. And the good news, next week, Dave Taylor, me, our teams did really good in the tournaments. So I'll tell you more about next week.
We rejoice that the bowling team is doing very well and pray for Dave and Tom and others in the tournament. We also join Tom in praying for a friend whose father committed suicide this week, a tragic loss. Amber.
A friend of mine, Colleen Zeglin, whom we have prayed for before, asked to have radiation again. She has cancer in her thyroid, so I'd ask for prayers for her.
Prayers for Colleen Zeglin as she has treatment for thyroid cancer. Kendall. Prayers for families affected by a serious accident yesterday, especially the family of the one who did not make it. Debbie.
Yeah.
Thank you for that update, Debbie. Just in case anyone couldn't hear, we celebrate 313 fleece blankets made in the past year. The partnership of FedEx, whose employees have made 113 sandwiches this week. And Tuesday at 5:45, the City Council of Casper will recognize the agencies that partnered in the point in time count. Mike.
This past week, we had 7 high school age youth take on the challenge to do the God and Life classes. Prayers for them to be able to understand and grow in their faith.
Prayers for the 7 youth in our God and Life class, that they will grow in their faith. They can still join. Talk with Mike. They're meeting on Wednesdays and Saturdays. Courtney. Prayers for Courtney Kaplan's stepmom, Mel, in Las Vegas. They'll find out this week if her cancer has spread, and we pray that it has not. Let us bring all these concerns to God in a time of shared silence. O God of grace and glory, your amazing love reaches far beyond any boundary or barrier your children put up. Forgive us for the ways in which we separate ourselves from one another and from you. Send your love again to break down our walls and call us to live lives out of defining boxes, lives of freedom and faith. Lord, we pray your healing for Monica and for Gail as they recover from surgery. Please be with those living with cancer, including Travis, Colleen, Mel. We thank you, God, for the gift of good news. We continue to pray for Donald Pop, that his health might be strong. For Dave and Tom and others on the church bowling team, that they have the joy of fellowship as they share in sport. Thank you for all the agencies and individuals who work together in the point in time count. Thank you for friends from FedEx making sandwiches. And we pray your blessing upon over 300 people who have received blankets this year. Oh God, we pray for your spirit of wisdom to be with Mike and with the 7 youth participating in the God and Life program. May they grow in their faith and come to know you better through study and through service. Lord, we pray for Darren Miller and a family torn apart by suicide. We pray for light in the deepest, darkest night, for hope in the face of despair. We pray for a family affected by a car accident and for a life lost far too soon. Oh Lord, there are times when we carry the weight of grief, and it is so heavy we can barely stand. We thank you for friends and for faith to share that burden, for Christ himself to come and lift us from our knees to help us stand again. We pray, O God, for the people of Guatemala, for the work that Gloria does there as a missionary. We give thanks for the beauty of that country, and we pray for so many there who live in poverty. Thank you for the ministry of Grace Lutheran Church, for these Christian neighbors just down the street, and their ministry of hospitality reaching out to high school students every Wednesday. Bless Pastor Brenda as she leads that congregation. Oh Lord, there are many prayers that we would bring to you. Those we speak aloud and those we hold in silence in our hearts. Thank you, God, for looking into our lives, for listening when we pray, and for answering. In Jesus' name, amen. Friday, I had the privilege of participating in an interfaith prayer vigil in downtown Casper. There were people from many walks of life who gathered together specifically to pray in solidarity for refugees and immigrants, for Muslims, and for others who are feeling threatened. It was not a political action, just a time of prayer. It's prompted me to reflect all week on how currently in society it feels like people are being put in boxes. We're tempted to just label one another and use one word to describe a person who is undoubtedly more complex than any single name can sum up. Think about it for a minute. There's the label liberal. At its root, it means open-minded and generous, but for some, it becomes a threatening term affiliated with bleeding heart or non-patriotic. And then there's the word conservative. At its core, it means to conserve one's values. And yet, for some, it becomes a negative term that means overzealous or closed-minded or militaristic. There are labels like Democrat and Republican, and some people just don't want to fit in those boxes, so they step out and claim a different label, independent, maybe not even knowing what that means, but knowing that one word cannot sum up the complexity of human life. There's the word Muslim. That truly means a person who worships God following the teachings of Islam. But for some, it falsely becomes synonymous with terrorism or violence. And there's the word Christian, which at its root means someone who worships God following Christ. But for others, it becomes falsely a negative label, perhaps meaning homophobic or overzealous or self-righteous. All those labels and boxes, they just don't fit. One of the things that I love about the disciples of Christ is every Sunday, know it or not, we step outside of our boxes and we come together. This very Sunday, I am sure, in a disciples of Christ congregation, perhaps even here in this sanctuary, there will be a Patriots fan who hands communion to a Falcons fan, and peace will reign supreme. On this very morning, there will be a Democrat who hands the body of Christ to a Republican and looks at their neighbor's eyes with a sense of love and gratitude for our presence together in this place. In today's world, perhaps that seems almost revolutionary and radical. And yet it is so simple to acknowledge one another as human beings, as children of God, as fellow followers of Jesus Christ. No matter what other boxes the world tries to shove us in, here we are free to step beyond labels and share God's love with one another. All are welcome at the Lord's table. As the bread and cup are passed, may you feel free to love the person next to you and know you are loved by God, to forget about labels, and to be forgiven. We'll prepare for communion by singing together, "Where Cross the Crowded Ways of Life," number 665 in the hymnal, verses 1, 2, 4, and 6. As we come to the Lord's table, we know that all are welcome here in the name of Christ. Whether visitor or member in this place, God's love is given freely for you. As we gather at the table, we remember that night when Jesus met with his friends in the upper room. While they were there, he took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in memory of me." In the same way, after supper, Jesus took the cup, saying, "This is the new covenant in my blood poured out for you, to forgive your sin and the sins of many. Each time we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's life, death, and resurrection until he comes. These are the gifts of God for the people of God." Let us pray.
Father, as we partake of the bread and the cup, let us remember Jesus gave us the most important commandment, that of love. Whether it be people oppressed or people not as favored in life as we are, Jesus asks us to serve their needs. May we praise Jesus. Amen.
blessing comes when a gift is given and when a gift is received. One action cannot be complete without the other. Sometimes people feel more comfortable giving than receiving. But the blessing comes when we allow both to happen. As we give our gifts today, we not only offer to God a portion of the blessings that we have received, but we are honored to receive and be in partnership and walk humbly with our God and love justice. When you give to help another, you not only help them, but you also receive immeasurable blessings. The diaconate will receive our offerings. Thank you, God, for allowing us to be in partnership with you. May the gifts we bring before you truly express how we love and value your children. Multiply our offering and build up each person who receives them. We ask in your holy name. Amen.
From the Psalm 112, and that's on page 563 in your Bible. Blessings of the righteous. Praise the Lord. Happy are those who fear the Lord, who greatly delight in his commandments. Their descendants will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches are in their houses, and their righteousness endures forever. They rise in the darkness as a light for the upright. They are gracious, merciful, and righteous. It is well with those who deal generously and lend, who conduct their affairs with justice, for the righteous will never be moved. They will be remembered forever. They are not afraid of evil tidings. Their hearts are firm, secure in our Lord. Their hearts are steady. They will not be afraid. In the end, they will look in triumph on their foes. They have distributed freely. They have given to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Their horn is exalted in honor.
Thank you, Peg. Our second reading of scripture today comes from Isaiah chapter 58. Scholars divide Isaiah into three sections. The first sections, chapter 1 through 39, date from about 700 years before Christ. What is sometimes referred to as second Isaiah is chapters 40 through 55, and that relates to incidents that happened during the Babylonian exile when the Israelites were sent for 70 years to live under captivity in Babylon. The remainder of Isaiah, including today's passage, is a collection of prophecies and statements to the Hebrew people, some of which date from the era after the exile, when God's people had returned to Jerusalem. Let us listen to the Lord from Isaiah 58. The prophet says, "Shout out, do not hold back. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Announce to my people their rebellion, to the house of Jacob their sins. Yet day after day they seek me and delight to know my ways, as if they were a nation that practiced righteousness and did not forsake the ordinance of their God. They ask of me righteous judgments. They delight to draw near to God. Why do we fast, but you do not see? Why humble ourselves, but you do not notice? Look, you serve your own interest on your fast day and oppress all your workers. Look, you fast only to quarrel and to fight and to strike with a wicked fist. Such fasting as you do today will not make your voice heard on high. Is such the fast that I choose, a day to humble oneself? Is it to bow down the head like a bulrush and to lie in sackcloth and ashes? Will you call this a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I choose? To loose the bonds of injustice, to undo the thongs of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house, when you see the naked, to cover them and not to hide yourself from your own kin. Then your light shall break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up quickly. Your vindicator shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry for help, and he will say, "Here I am." If you remove the yoke from among you, the pointing of the finger, the speaking of evil, if you offer your food to the hungry and satisfy the needs of the afflicted, then your light shall rise in the darkness, and your gloom be like the noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your needs in parched places and make your bones strong. And you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters never fail. Your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations. You shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to live in. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Thank you, choir, for that beautiful anthem, a retelling of "How Great Thou Art." What a lovely piece. Will you pray with me? O God, we hunger for you. May the fasting of our lives, the worship of our work, the meditations of our hearts, and the words of my mouth be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Shout out, do not hold back. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. The prophet in Isaiah 58 alternates between having his own voice and speaking on behalf of God. And then he speaks for the people. If you were following along in the Pew Bible, you would notice that at verse 3, there are quotations. The people are saying to God, "Why do we fast, but you do not see? Why humble ourselves, but you do not notice?" It's as if the Israelites were saying to God, "Look at us, we're fasting. Why aren't you giving us what we want? Listen, God, we're here in worship. We're doing what your law said. Why aren't we getting blessed? We came back from exile. Why isn't Jerusalem already restored and rebuilt? God, we're doing our best. See how much we love you." And the Lord replies about the nature of the fasting of his people. The first time that I ever fasted, I was in junior high. The youth group at First Christian Church in Alamogordo was participating in a 30-hour famine. At that point, it was actually a 48-hour famine. We started right after lunch on Friday, and we went all afternoon, all evening Friday, all day Saturday, Sunday morning until after worship. It was a long time to go without eating. We met together at the church, slept in sleeping bags, had two nights of lock-in. It was pretty fun hanging out together at church. We learned some about world hunger and had activities we did together as a youth group. Friday evening, supper time came, and the youth sponsors gathered us together to sit around a table, and everyone received one small glass of juice. That was our meal. Just a little bit of sugar, a little bit of flavor to have in your mouth, a little bit of energy to keep you going. We talked with one another about how we were hungry, the kind of hunger that makes you aware you've skipped a meal and you're ready to eat something. You want to chew something. After breakfast and lunch the next day, when again we just had a single glass of juice, we were all starting to get pretty grumpy. And then in the afternoon, the youth sponsors, Tommy and Marilyn Dobson, said we have an activity for you all to do. They had decided they were going to teach us basket weaving. Boy, was that a disaster. We were all grumpy and tired. We couldn't think straight. We couldn't follow directions. We just kind of wanted to lay down and take a nap. And here they were making us do something that required fine motor coordination. To this day, when I go to a craft shop and I look at a basket and I see a tag that says made in Indonesia or something, I think about how it's possible that the person who made that basket was really hungry when they did it. And yet their weaving is perfectly symmetrical and beautifully done. It was a humbling experience to discover what it's like to be really hungry, or at least to a certain degree. According to United Nations statistics, currently about 800 million people, one in nine in our world, are chronically undernourished. According to Bread for the World, 12 million children in America have insufficient nutrition. If you go without eating for a long time, it begins to affect you. Children who do not have enough to eat or the right food to eat experience stunting. They never grow to their full height. Physically, they look years younger than they are chronologically. And mentally, there's a struggle to develop and learn as they should. There are different severities of starvation. You've probably seen the pictures, perhaps, of little children, often in Africa, with bloated bellies. They look so big and chubby, they're actually hungry and underfed. And then there's the most severe form, wasting. It's where the body has been without protein or nourishment for so long that the body begins to eat itself. Those are the individuals that you see in photos that they are literally skin and bones. There's no tissue left. It's just an arm bone covered with thin skin, a concave stomach and ribs sticking out. It's hard to even think about, painful to ponder. Yet we can't really talk about fasting without talking about being hungry. Fasting is a spiritual discipline. It's the simple act of giving up food to be more aware of the presence of God. When I was in seminary, I served as an associate pastor with a senior minister who told me that every Sunday he fasted before worship. He skipped breakfast on Sunday mornings. He said he liked having the very first thing he tasted on Sunday morning every week to be the Lord's Supper, the bread and the cup. So I started that practice. And now, years later, there are Sundays when I savor the flavor of the bread at the communion table, and I'm thankful for my fast. There are other Sundays when I confess it's not a spiritual discipline at all. It's just I'm a little too lazy to get up early enough on Sunday morning to fix breakfast, and I think I'm a little too busy, so I skip a meal. Not really a fast. The Israelites were following the letter of the law that taught about fasting on specific days and specific occasions. There was fasting as a form of worship to praise God. There was also fasting as a sign of mourning. Perhaps in your own life, you have experienced the grief that comes with a weight you almost can't bear. When someone you love and you're so close to is taken so suddenly, you're so overwhelmed, you don't even want to eat. You literally lose your appetite. There's a connection between the ancient practice of mourning and that depth of grief. When people knew such an extreme loss, they would clothe themselves with sackcloth. It was kind of like burlap, a rough, scratchy fabric, uncomfortable to wear. They would cover themselves with dirt or ashes, so anyone who saw them knew that something was wrong in their life. That form of fasting, of physically bowing down low like the bulrushes or cypress, the water reeds that wave in the wind, all those external physical signs were a sign of what was happening internally. Either mourning or repentance, saying, I'm sorry. So the Israelites fasted. And their fasting said to God, God, we're sorry you haven't given us what we wanted. God, we're sorry you're not paying enough attention to us. We're your chosen ones. And God's reply was, I am listening. I am looking at the kind of fast you give. And through Isaiah, God called them out and said, the kind of fast you're giving is all show. Sure, you come to worship, but then during the week when you work, you beat your servants. You're oppressive to your workers. You're unjust. You think that's the kind of worship I want? God says. So to us today, the word comes again from Isaiah. Though we might not practice fasting as a form of worship, is our worship what God really wants? We come to church on Sunday morning. We've got the outer signs, right? We show up and sing our songs and raise our hands. But then during the week, do those same hands reach out to our neighbors or just clasp tightly to all the good stuff we can get and hold for ourselves? A true fast means taking a loaf of bread and giving it away to someone who's hungrier than you are. And then when that act makes you hungry, it reminds you that you're connected with that brother or sister in the human family, with that other person who was fasting not by choice, but by circumstance. Is this the fast that I choose? To bow down the head like a bulrush, to lie in sackcloth and ashes? Will you call this a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? God asks. No. The fast I choose is to loose the bonds of injustice, to undo the thongs of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free. The fast the Lord chooses is to share our bread with the hungry, to bring the homeless poor into our house, when we see the naked, to cover them and not to hide ourselves from others in need who are, in fact, our own kin. Isaiah speaks in if-then clauses. If you share your bread and clothe the naked, then your light shall break forth like the dawn, and your healing spring up quickly. If you remove the yoke from among you, the pointing of the finger, the speaking of evil, if you offer your food to the hungry and satisfy the needs of the afflicted, then your light shall rise in the darkness. The Lord will guide you and satisfy your needs. If you pay attention to others who are hungry, God will make sure that you're not too hungry to bear. You will be like a watered garden, like a spring of water that never fails. Ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. Foundations of many generations shall be raised. You will be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to live in. The world around us tells us that we should tear down one another and build walls that divide. But Jesus calls us to do a different kind of building, to build up the human family. Even when it costs us something. Even when it means taking our own bread and giving it away. 800 million people in the world are hungry. Today, I'm not one of them. God tells me I should do something about that. That is what true worship looks like. That is the fasting that God desires. Amen. And amen. Our hymn of dedication today comes from the Purple Chalice Praise Songbook. I know the bulletin says it's on page 4,147. the book isn't quite that big. I think it's on page 147. You live my love. This is a new song for us, but to me it seemed to tie in with Isaiah 58. Diane is going to play it through once so we can hear the melody, and then the choir will sing the first verse, and then we're all invited to join in, and we'll sing together the first verse and the second verse. If there's anyone here today looking for a church home, moved to give your heart to Christ, or longing to help others in the name of Jesus, you're invited to come forward as we stand and sing. That there is coffee and food waiting downstairs. If you are hungry for Christian fellowship, you're invited to stay, enjoy a donut conversation with other believers. We especially welcome our visitors this morning to come and meet members of the church downstairs in Fellowship Hall. If all hearts and minds are clear, let us pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for feeding your children who are hungry. Thank you for calling us to share what we have to feed others with bread and with your love, the bread of life. Bless us now as we go forth that your light might shine. Amen.
What more?